temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Man, is there a lot to talk about. I'll tell you this much. Bob Pompeiani, I believe in tomorrow, three Mondays in a row, he has, I think, television commitments, if you want to call them that. And I respect that. I think he'll be in tomorrow.
Yeah, he said he'll be in tomorrow.
I love the U.S. Open because every time I looked up, somebody was in a predicament that I'm in on every hole.
Yeah.
Somebody's hitting from behind like one of those wire bushes. Somebody's hitting out of a deep sand trap. In DeChambeau's case, he's hitting from this. I've been in places like this a lot. He's hitting under a tree, like with his back bent over under a tree off a root, and there's a rock there too. It was tremendous, Paul.
Yes.
And he made a pretty good shot into the trap, and then he made what people are calling one of the 10 greatest shots in U.S. Open history out of that trap. I didn't think we'd open with golf today. I didn't know what we'd open with. That just seems to be on the front of my mind today, is that I really enjoyed that. I loved the ending of that tournament. And then Rory takes off without even talking to the media, said to be in tears. And he was on an airplane by the time DeChambeau was talking to the media. He was out, man. He can't win.
Well,
he can't win a major anymore.
You know what made me feel pretty good?
Huh?
What was that putt? 2 foot, 6 inches?
That made me feel good,
and he
too.
Missed it. Because how many of those do I miss every round?
It reinforces the mental. It's the mental part
right,
of the game,
right? It's why, you know, for a while there was this push among these analytics types to try and say that there is no such thing as clutch, or there's no such thing as, you know. Listen, some guys handle pressure better than other guys, and if you don't understand that, you don't understand sports. There is, I guarantee, if you went right out there today with nobody watching, and you put the ball in that same place, he'd probably drop that putt 25 out of 25.
He had made 496 straight putts of 3 feet or in.
Right.
496 in a row. He could do it blindfolded 100 times in a row.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where I'm just kind of like, anytime I see something like that, I'm like, how could you watch that and not understand how pressure changes everything?
It was, and then he missed one that wasn't that much longer. It was 4 feet, and he missed that one too, two in a row. I was just, I don't know. Since I took up golf a couple years ago, I watch it, but I only watch it for like, you know, to try and learn some things. I don't really care who wins. I'm not really watching the tournament, but yesterday I was, by the end anyway.
Yeah.
For those last three holes, and that was just riveting theater. What are the ratings like compared to, like, Tiger obviously lifted that sport from one place to another.
Right.
Has there been a Tiger effect going the other way, or has it maintained and gotten even more popular? I don't even know.
Well, I think that the ratings for golf was up for a while, but I'm not sure. I haven't really paid attention. I'll tell you, I haven't really paid attention since the split, the PGA LIV split.
Yeah.
Here you go. U.S. Open final round, the most in 5 years.
I wonder what it was before and after Tiger.
10.2 million. Yeah, I mean, it was ridiculous. His effect on golf was insane.
I think the sport now, And the pandemic, actually, golf experienced an incredible surge in participation during the pandemic that more and more people are watching it now, want to see it. And, man, endings like that, it's just going to make it bigger and bigger and bigger.
Well, there's a lot more people that are playing it, for sure. Like, golf, like, before the pandemic, there's a lot of industries and businesses that got just really destroyed in many ways by the pandemic.
Yeah.
But the one that really, really thrived is golf. Because it was the only thing you're really allowed to do. And so, you know, golf was literally, I don't want to say on the edge of like going away, but golf courses and golf industry in general was really in bad shape. Bad shape. And, you know, they weren't sure, you know, how they were going to pull themselves out of it. And then along comes the pandemic, and you're not allowed to do anything else. A lot of people started taking up the game, and it was incredible. I mean, like, you know, you talk to people that own golf courses, and they were like, we don't even need golf outings and leagues and stuff. Our tee sheet's full from morning to night.
Oh, we talked to all these guys. They all say the same. We were out at Winango Country Club the other day. Unbelievable hidden gem right up there. And those guys were saying the same thing. You know, it's just...
You know, the thing about that Winango Country Club, Joe, how many courses do we play that have trees like that still? I mean, it's just beautiful.
Tree Rollins have played had an effect on a bunch of our shots.
But I mean, like, a lot of these... Yeah, it does. I mean, but that's the thing about golf, too, is that the PGA basically has declared war on trees.
Yeah.
And a lot of these courses... Now, there's some things in terms of, like I said, there's some... the guy was explaining it to me. There's some disease. There's some different things that, you know, if you have trees that are too close to the greens, I guess some of the stuff that, you know, floats out of trees onto greens really hurts and makes it tough. So there's some of that. But also, they want to make rounds faster.
Yeah.
And so you cut out trees. But my thing is, there are a number of courses where I would tell you, yeah, cut those trees out because they're useless. Cut that tree. Get rid of that. Makes your course better. But that course we played, Winango.
Oh.
I mean, the trees make the course. It's just a beautiful place.
Spectacular. How are you today, Nelly?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Joe, for asking. I appreciate you.
You're welcome, and I'm glad you're doing well. It's Paul's Ice and myself here. Yes, Paul?
Can I tell you what I did last night?
Please.
You'll be amazed. So I went to see Earth, Wind, and Fire.
I was going
to
ask you about that. I just read the reviews.
They were tremendous. Okay. But they were tremendous, and you know they're my favorite. But first time since 1986, Lionel Richie did a show in Pittsburgh. How about that? Did an arena show here. Now, last time he did a concert here, a major concert, was in 1986.
Sounded great.
He was unbelievable. Phenomenal.
That's like, what the Post Gazette said.
Like, listen, all the guys, now I see Earth, Wind, and Fire every time they come. You know what I mean? I'm at every show. I mean, wherever they're at, if they come close, I go see them.
I should have gone to
them. I've seen them, you know, I can't even count how many times. And you know, they're my favorite band, and I love them, and they sound good still. You know, Philip Bailey's voice is starting to lose steam, if you know what I mean. Like, he can't hit all the high notes he once did, and some of the songs he has to cut them short because he can't sing them. But it was incredible. But I go to see all these bands from my era, you know, the 80s, you know, the 70s, 80s, 90s, whatever. And they're all old now. So my expectations are not usually the same as other people's expectations, because I kind of know, okay, like, for instance, I saw Guns N' Roses last year. Axl Rose is done. His voice is awful. The band still sounds great, but he can't sing anymore.
Lost his three-pointer.
I mean, I went to see Motley Crue. Now, they got smart, actually, and what they did is they have two females now on the stage singing a lot of the parts for Vince Neil, because he can't sing anymore either. Lionel Richie was unbelievable. That's what he, so I went there. I said, you know, I don't, I mean, he's 75 years old or whatever he is now. I can't imagine he still got it. Like, man, he was, it's one of the best concerts I've ever seen. Honestly, the both. And I saw Earth, Wind & Fire last year at Robert Morris, right? This show was 10 times better than that show.
Did you sing along?
Oh, of course. I know every
everybody
song.
Sang along?
Everybody does. Listen, here's the other thing that's amazing. Earth, Wind & Fire started touring in, what, 1971? So they are, what's that now, 53 years? 50-something years?
Everybody like alive from that band?
No, but they have three original members that are still in the band. You know,
Earth, Wind & Fire.
Philip Bailey and Verdeen White and Ralph Johnson. But, I mean, when was Lionel Richie popular? The 80s?
His songs, Scott Mervis listed his songs. I'm like, yeah. I know every one of those songs. Yeah. Every one of them.
Well, what I was going to say is two bands whose prime or peak or whatever you want to say was in this probably, you know, late 70s, early 80s, right? If it wasn't sold out, it was really close because there was not a seat I could find where that was empty. All the way up the top, everywhere. It was sold out. There had to be like 18, 19.
Who'd you go with?
Buddies, bunch of friends, a group of people. You know what I mean? It was really, really a lot of fun. I'm just telling you, it was one of those things where every so often one of these shows, the performer surprises you. And I'm telling you, Lionel Richie was amazing.
I wish I had been there. Sail On, Three Times a Lady, Stuck on You, You Are, Penny Lover, Easy. And then you think, I know every single one of those songs. I could sing with him on any one of those.
Yeah.
What was the highlight of the night? One song.
Well, he did like a stretch of like about four or five Commodore songs. You know, songs from when he was at the Commodores, Brick House, you know what I mean? All those guys. That was pretty spectacular. He came out of the stage. There was a piano that rose up out of the stage. You know what I mean? And
that's how he made his entrance.
Well, he made his entrance coming. He rose out of the stage just standing. You know what I mean? With smoke. You know what I mean? It popped up. But then a little bit later in the show, this piano pops out of the stage. You know what I mean? But for Earth, Wind & Fire, it was clearly when they went. They sing a lot of their songs, right? And then they usually, when they're going to the end of the show, they start with like Boogie Wonderland, and then they go all the way, and they finish up with September. But they do a run of like five of their biggest hits. There's so much energy in the building. It's amazing. So those were the two.
Well, you seem energized. It seems like you're on a high today. Oh, you're energized, happy.
Every so often.
Does he seem that way, Nelly?
It's the post-concert high.
It is. Like whenever We've you see all your, had that.
Whenever
yeah.
you see well, your favorite band, you want to talk about it for days.
Well, only if they're good.
Yeah.
Only if they're good. Like I said, last year when I saw Guns N' Roses, I didn't want to talk about it because Axl's voice was so bad.
Yeah, he was worse than Derek Rose at this point.
Exactly. I'm like, okay. But when you see somebody, when you see a show like that, like Lionel Richie just kill it. And I mean kill it. Wow.
Man, I wish I was there. All right. I'm glad that Paul is happy today. He's flying high. Nelly seems to be doing well. We miss Bob, but we'll get over it. We're going to move ahead. How about Kabali on the station today? What happened there? What happened? I missed the whole episode. I had off on Friday because we were playing golf. And of course, all weekend. The Starkey Colony Tournament went wonderfully out at Foxburg. We had a great time, great course, great people. But I missed this whole Cam Hayward story, I guess a scrum at his locker. Is that how this goes, Paul? Where he was joking about, I don't think he's joking that he would play somewhere else if he needed to. But he said something about Cleveland that was clearly joking, and then Kabali reported it.
So I saw that the other day. And when I saw it from Kabali, I just kind of thought, was this Cam, you know, sort of having a little fun with Kabali? I didn't realize it was a scrum. It was a group thing, and that Kabali was the only one that wrote something about it. The problem with it is, as you know, Joe, when you write something, it doesn't have the same context as if we have an interview where you can actually watch, you know, if you saw Cam Hayward saying that, And you know, okay, he was clearly he was joking. He was laughing. He was having a good time.
Yeah.
There's context. The problem when you write something like that, unless you make it very clear he was joking, yeah, it comes off like that.
Well, let's hear what Cabali said about this, because this is I'm a little bit flummoxed by this whole thing. I never saw the Hayward clip. We agree on this, though. If he's made it clear in all seriousness that if he needs to play somewhere else in 2025, he will, correct?
Yeah, I think that...
That part's serious.
I think that part, there was no joking there.
But the Cleveland part... Well, let's hear it. Do you have the thing, Cabali, with the morning guys today trying to clear all this up? Let's hear it.
Mark talked to Cam Hayward. Cam Hayward said he'll play someplace else in 2025. He's playing, whether it's with the Steelers or someone else. Then he mentions Cleveland. Do you think he... What, tell us how that all came about, Mark, because he said he's got family in Cleveland, his wife's got family in Cleveland, but it's rubbed a lot of Steelers fans the wrong way.
It was a joke. He was joking about Cleveland. Maybe not playing somewhere else. So
Hold up. That's the most serious I've ever heard Cabali in his entire
existence. I'm sure probably because he's taken a lot of heat for this.
Oh, I bet.
You know what I mean?
I bet. I'm sorry, Nelly. Go back to the beginning. I want to hear serious Cabali, angry Cabali. Again, this is angry Cabali, the one you never get. This is the Cabali you don't want to see in a ring if you ever had to fight him. This is the lighthearted Cabali putting his foot down and taking a swing here. Let's hear it again.
Mark talked to Cam Hayward. Cam Hayward said he'll play someplace else in 2025. He's playing, whether it's with the Steelers or someone else. Then he mentions Cleveland. Do you think he... What, tell us how that all came about, Mark, because he said he's got family in Cleveland, his wife's got family in Cleveland, but it's rubbed a lot of Steelers fans the wrong way.
It was a joke. He was joking about Cleveland. Maybe not playing somewhere else. So that's all that was. I mean,
well, you didn't write it that way, Mark. I feel like you're culpable here.
No, I thought I made it quite clear that it was jokingly. It's the aggregators that came and then made it sound like it was true. I mean, I said to him, hey, nobody's going to see you in a 32 Seattle Seahawks Franco jersey, right? And he laughs. I said, yeah, or, you know, Cleveland, Cincinnati. He goes, oh, you know, Cleveland, my wife and some family are still up there. I'm like, yeah, right. He goes, yeah. You know, it was just a joke, but the grand scheme of things was, I think he's trying to gain some leverage. I don't even know if it's leverage, but I think he's just holding off, waiting, trying to see maybe the longer he waits that they can come together with maybe, I don't know. It's hard because they won't tell you specifics of what happened. What I'm saying is maybe they're offering him low right now, and they're not offering him much of incentives to sign right now. Maybe if he goes down this route, he'll get them to say, you know, add some kickers into it of playtime stuff or anything like that to get more money out of it.
All right. Here's the situation. First of all, Cabali, great at what he does. His strength, I believe, is relating to the players. You hear him on the air out there listening. He's a good guy, fun guy, and good at what he does. But on this one, he needed to make it more clear. Now that I go and look at the story, he needed to make it more clear that Hayward was joking. His whole story is the part about, yeah, he could, you know, the headline of the story is Cam Hayward warming to the idea of ending career elsewhere. And that's true, maybe. He's certainly willing to go elsewhere. At least he's been serious about that. He ends the story about Paul by saying this. He wrote this, Cabali did. Can you imagine Hayward in the orange and brown of the Cleveland Browns? It might seem sacrilegious, but never say never. And then Hayward says, I still have family in Cleveland. My wife is from Cleveland. We'll see. I'm trying not to think about all that right now. That's not clear there that Hayward was joking. I'm sorry, Cabali, but that needed to be way more clear at the ending when you said he could have said something like it even got to the point where the Cleveland Browns were brought up. That's never going to happen. Hayward laughed and said blank, blank, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
He didn't make it clear enough.
Well, I would tell you, here's the other thing. What he said also that I thought was interesting was where he kind of said, Cleveland's probably not going to happen, but that doesn't mean some of the other things couldn't happen.
Right.
In other words, he's joking, half joking about Cleveland, But in terms of actually talking about leaving, he's not joking. Right? Am I reading that the right way? I mean, that's the way I read it when I first saw it last, whatever, it was Friday, I think it was, or whatever. Yeah, maybe Saturday, whatever day it was, where I saw that on the, when I saw that on the, you know, on Twitter, I clicked on it or whatever. My point is, my thoughts were, he's serious about, hey, my wife is okay if we have to go somewhere else, if that's what it takes to get a multi-year deal. The part that he was just joking about was why Cleveland. But here's my thing, Joe. So Cleveland calls him at the end of this year and says, I'm going to give you a two-year, $32 million deal. He's going to say no. No, I can't go there. It's Cleveland. I mean, if you here's the thing. If you're going to leave, you're going to leave.
One of the only times I've ever seen that happen is with Fleury in the Capitals, where he said, I can't play there. Remember when that came up, that story?
Yeah.
But you're right. That could be the real punchline at the end. But I think, and it's a good story by Cabali. It really is. He just needed to be more clear that Cam was joking at the end about Cleveland. And to your point, maybe there's always a little bit of truth in a joke. Cam still thinks he's top five at his position. I say that's impossible for me to know. Every season is a lifetime in the NFL, and he obviously wasn't top five at his position last year, mostly because he was hurt, right? So I don't know. The last time Cam Hayward was truly top five at his position was a lifetime ago, 2022. I have no idea if he's top five at his position anymore, and the Steelers don't either. So I'll just go back and circle back to what I said from the beginning of this, is that they've made a lot of other people take pay cuts at the same point Cam is at. They have pushed people out who were frankly as popular as he is, more popular and better players than him. Ben. They pushed out Ben before he wanted to go, and he took a huge pay cut.
How about forget about him?
Troy.
I was going to say. That's, you don't have to say anybody else.
Right. So there's zero dispute that Cam is beloved here for great reasons. He's been a great player and even greater guy off the field. But at some point, business is business. And they didn't ask him to take a pay cut. They've treated him with the utmost respect. They gave him a historically great contract on his last contract. This is the last year of it. They didn't ask for a pay cut. They're going to give him his money. So after this, you know what? If they don't wind up signing him, and I don't think he should get any money, guaranteed money beyond this year. I don't. Nor any sweeteners for this year. That would be my tack if I was the Steelers. If he goes and plays somewhere else, we'll all get over it. And so will he.
Yeah,
he'll come back to Pittsburgh and live the life that he's been living as a pillar of this community. He'll be remembered as a great Steeler. If he's got to go play elsewhere, then go play for a couple of years. We'll all survive.
I mean, anytime you have that discussion, there's only one name you ever have to say, and that is Troy. Because you could make a case that Troy is one of the five most popular Steelers, maybe ever. Would you say he's at least in the conversation of one of the five most popular Steelers ever?
Ron would say, and I agreed, that the two most popular Steelers ever in order are Jack Lambert and Troy.
Okay, so let's say clearly one of the top five in terms of play. He's, you know, one of the best players I've ever had, who also is one of the most popular players I've ever had. They pushed him out the door.
Yeah.
When they thought that he was no longer able to. And so, I don't know what else you have to say. And so if Cam Hayward doesn't get the money that he wants, or doesn't get the contract that he wants, you know, then he's got a choice to make. Does he want to go and leave and try and make some money somewhere else? Or is he going to go the way of some of those other guys that just sort of begrudgingly retire?
I mean, again, we've talked about this 1,000 times, is the theme of this season with the Steelers is 1 year and 1 year only. This is it. We need to win now. We need to win a playoff game. We have no commitment to either of these quarterbacks. We've got the only time they broke that was with their head coach, giving him 3 years. I thought it would have fit perfectly to have Tomlin on the last year of his deal. But that seems to be the overall theme, is let's worry about everything else after this year. We'll worry about everything else. And I would say that Cam should definitely fit in that. and reassess everything at the end of this season, all in for 1 year. And that's it. You still think he's a top five player? I mean, he's listed as defensive tackle. He's an end in a 3-4, but there's a million. It's right. All sub-package right. Football anyway.
Right, right.
Technically, he's a defensive tackle, and they list him last year, ESPN, going into the season as number five on that list. Is he still a top five at that position?
If he's healthy, yes, probably. If he's healthy. Because here's the other thing, Joe. He's not – his injuries were not, you know, ACL or – shoulder, blown shoulder, whatever. They were groin injuries.
Right.
Which, you get to be that age, they could linger. They could, you know what I mean? They could be things that, so I got to see him play. I mean, I think he will be, but we got to see him play. That's the big thing.
We've referenced profootballnetwork.com, I think, is a really good website. Who's the best defensive tackle in the NFL? They have Chris Jones. I don't know many people would argue with that now that Aaron Donald is gone, right? Dexter Lawrence is next. Quinnen Williams of the Jets. Derek Brown of the Panthers. Jeffrey Simmons of the Titans. Those are pretty good players, right? And Hayward is outside the top five at number six. I think that's fair going into this
and
season.
If you're top six at your position and you show that this season.
Yeah.
If the Steelers decide they don't want to give you another contract, I'm assuming someone else will.
They'll reassess. If they don't, I still have a feeling they may work something out here, by the way. But I think that's fair. And I also think it's fair and fine for him to say, I've broken my body for you. I came back from that thing last year and played on one leg. Reward me. I understand how he would say that.
Yeah.
But I also understand how the Steelers would say, we already did. You're still playing on the deal where we made you one of the highest paid players over 30 in NFL history, defensive players.
Right.
That's how we rewarded you, and we still are rewarding you. So I understand both sides of it, but man, at the end of the day, it is a business. Jalen Carter right behind him, DJ Reader, Christian Wilkins, those are all really good players. Matt Abuike from the Ravens is a DeForest Buckner. There's a lot of great players at that position. Hargrave is only 15th on that list, Paul. He's pretty damn good. So I think it's going to take a lot for Cam to keep himself in the top five, even top 10 at that position, and hopefully he does.
Yeah, and again, if you're top five, if you're even your top six, someone will sign him. We've seen how much evidence of that, right? Guys that are good at their position, obviously, are going to get a contract. But the Steelers have been pretty good at, I mean, the Steelers, honestly, and it's a different sport, but, you know, we always sort of joke about how the Pirates, someone leaves the Pirates and they become a superstar.
Yeah.
Very rarely does that happen with the Steelers. Quite often they're right.
Yeah.
Quite often they're right when they say, okay, it's time to sort of pull the plug on this. And, you know, he's had a great career for us. But, you know, what I can think of, I guess, is Rod Woodson. But I would even say that those circumstances were different because he was hurt and they weren't sure he could still play corner. Obviously, he proved them wrong, but very few guys have left the Steelers. I'm talking about guys that, you know, were here for a while.
Yeah.
I'm not guys that came through town and a cup of coffee for 1 year and then went somewhere else. I'm talking about guys that were here that the Steelers had to make a decision. Okay, we've had this guy for X amount of years.
Mm-hmm.
We either have to give him a contract extension or we kind of have to move on from him.
There's been a couple, I think generally, I agree with you, over history. There's been a few lately that I think they made mistakes on. I think Mike Hilton was one for Cincy. I thought they had a chance to keep him. Steven Nelson's had some good years. Javon Hargrave, although I would have made the decision, that was a decision between him and Tuitt.
Right.
And there was no way to – I thought Tuitt was the better player.
Right.
I don't think they made a mistake there.
But even like Mike Hilton, I mean, he was good here.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like he wasn't good here and then went somewhere else and was a star. He was good here. That was a business decision.
Yeah, yeah. You're right about that.
What I'm talking about are these decisions like this with Cam Hayward where they're looking at a player that is getting up there in age – probably a little bit on the decline, and it's going to cost a lot of money.
Right.
You know, they brought in, like you said, they brought in Ben, they brought in Troy, they brought in, you know, there's a number of guys they've had to bring into the office and basically say, we'd like you to just bow out gracefully because I don't think we're going to sign you. You know, Ben was able to milk one extra year out of it, but that was it. He had to take a pay cut, and it was, like, almost awkward that final season because you knew he was being pushed out the door. You know what I mean?
And he finally admitted that to our very own Ron Cook at one point. He basically said, as I recall, that Colbert wanted him out, Rooney wanted him in, and Tomlin could have gone either way, which to me indicates he was fine with Ben leaving, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, with Cam, 4-1-2.
And here's the thing. Ben, do you think he would have gotten a contract? If Ben said after, you know, the Steelers, listen, they're not going to sign me that year, whatever. He's sitting there on the bench. What was his last home game? Cleveland, I think, or whoever it was. Remember where he's sitting on the bench?
Yeah.
A moment alone with 6,000 photographers surrounding him. If you remember that, I was there at the stadium that day. And then he loses to the Chiefs. If after the Chiefs game he says, well, you know, I've had a great ride with the Steelers, but my career is not over. I would like to play again. Someone would have given him a contract, right?
The Niners.
Someone would have given him a contract.
That story came out.
But here's the thing. Say he got a 2-year deal or a 3-year deal. Would he have been good?
Maybe in the right situation where he had a great offensive line, could you stand back? Like Flacco, the way Flacco was, at least for, what, 4 or 5 games in Cleveland.
Right.
I'm sure Ben could have stood back there and fired the ball, but he couldn't move around anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't actually remember the Niners story other than I think it
the
came
Niners
out that
story
they had
is,
interest.
Well, the Niners story was, if you remember in that playoff run, Purdy got hurt. Their other guy got hurt.
Yeah.
They had remember they had to play in the AFC Championship game with Josh Johnson or whatever his name was, or Jack Johnson or John Jackson or whatever the hell his name was.
Yeah.
But the story was, going into the playoffs, they had called and inquired with Ben, hey, maybe even like late in the season, but at some point, you know, where it's clear they had a bunch of injuries at quarterback, they had called and said to Ben, hey, would you be interested in coming out and playing for us? That's at least according to Ben.
All right, coming up, your thoughts on the Hayward situation at 412-928-9370. I'm always curious about this, and I put myself back into the shoes of like when Thurman Thomas went and played for the Dolphins. It was kind of sickening. I get that, but it's also just forgotten. Like, who cares? It was just at the end of his career, and nobody remembers Thurman Thomas as a Dolphin or Bruce Smith in Washington. You know, who cares? But what would it be like to see Cam in another jersey? Forget about Cleveland. He was obviously joking, although, as Paul said, if Cleveland came along with the best offer after this season, who knows where anything like that could go.
But it was a joke.
412-928-9370. JP Roofing presents Off the Top. We have so many things to talk about. Let's get to the Pirates as well here. What a crazy, weird, unexpected weekend. A lot of things happening in Colorado. And now it's a showdown with the Reds. We'll talk about that coming up. Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. All right. Let's talk a little FanDuel here. NBA Finals could end tonight. Forget about winding down. And FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge, is giving you the chance to win alongside the champions. Because right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets with a winning $5 bet. That's $200 to use on same-game parlays, live bets, so much more. I'm looking at Jason Tatum. I don't think he's had a great Finals game yet. And some of the things he says in these news conferences are really interesting to me. Like, is he ready to explode and just lead them to a championship? Or are they going to choke tonight? Like, one of the things with this series is they almost choked away two games where they had late leads. Almost choked away. Could they choke away a whole series? Or is this the night Tatum rises up? Now, that's up to you to decide. FanDuel.com/Starkey gets you started. Take an extra shot at an extra $200. 21 plus present in Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Talking about the Cam Hayward saga going into training camp. Nelly, why don't we go to the lines on that one? Who do we have?
Let's go to Mark in Bridgeville.
What's up, Mark?
Guys, Cam Hayward, I went to school with his dad. Listen, that's projection 101. And Paul, you're shot out of a cannon. I haven't heard you this excited since you left Toys for Tata's event. And Paul or Joe, you need to change the show to Mr. Starkey's Neighborhood.
I like that, actually, a little bit.
There you go, Mr. Starkey's Neighborhood.
Do you have a thought on Hayward?
Well, him joking about that. Look, you guys talked about literature. I took English comp in college, as you took many, many more courses. It's very hard to project sarcasm. Teacher told me that on my first paper. So when you say something like that, deep down, it's in your mind. And why wouldn't you want to go to Cleveland?
Well, that is interesting. That's what I said, is sometimes there's truth in a joke. I think he was joking at that point. I do. I think that was clear. But like Paul said, if that reality ever comes that he's unsigned and Cleveland comes a calling after a good season, yeah, why wouldn't you? I agree with that. Why wouldn't you?
I mean, we're still talking about Duck Hodge and no, we're not talking about Duck Hodge. We have better quarterbacks now, but it's a much different situation, and Cam's getting older. And I would avoid contact with his dad at all costs when I'd see him at a bar.
With who?
Ironhead.
Ironhead was, appreciate the call, was an incredible,
yes,
incredible player. I just talked last week, Paul. I can't remember. Oh, it was at the Montour Heights thing about the legend of Brian Davis and how Foge Fazio wanted to build a backfield with Hayward and Davis together in it. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
What that would have been like. And I guess it was. I think Ironhead might have been hurt. I don't know how long they played together, actually. And Davis had really one great game there against Boston College, and then his career sort of fell apart. But the dream was, it was worth dreaming to have those two guys in the same backfield. Do you remember Brian Davis?
Yeah, I mean, Davis, there's, and again, there are a number of people who think he had a chance to be the greatest ever. He was that good. He was that great of an athlete coming out of, you know, high school. But he had obviously some other things going on that sort of shorted his career in college. But I was trying to think, when you said Davis and Hayward, I was trying to think, Pitts had some combinations of backfield guys, you know, that were pretty, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't LeSean McCoy and Deion Lewis together? Or did they just miss? I think they were together.
I think they did, yeah. They crossed over, and there was that other great guy there.
LeRod Stevens Howling.
He was good, and the guy who hurt his knee, the guy that LeBron was tweeting about on the night game, who was that kid? It was a night game against South Florida.
Ray Graham? Was they had
Ray Graham.
Yes.
Ray Graham.
That's right. I forgot about him.
He was really good. Yeah, they've had some great combinations. They have a great running back history there.
I mean, to me, it's absolutely amazing. It really is.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Fiat. Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Coming up, let's get to the Pirates. Somehow, even though they took two of three here, I'm left with more questions than answers about this series. It was just mind-boggling. And yet, here they are. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that at the top of the hour.
They took two of three mostly because their opponent is atrocious.
Let's talk about some of the decisions. One of the plays from this series that was absolutely mind-blowing. And where the Pirates stand. Also, a quote from Ben Cherington that jumped off the page yesterday regarding the trade deadline. Let's talk about all of this coming up. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy 24 Silverado LT Crew Cab, up to $7,500 in rebates. Full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com. Partly cloudy with a high of 97. Let me tell you about JP Roofing and Siding. What a man he is. We've talked about JP's impact in the community with veterans groups and such. Saw it last Friday out at Foxburg Golf Course, where they're refurbishing the oldest continuous use golf course in the United States. And who was the title sponsor? None other than JP. He was out there front and center. Actually, when I say front and center, his name was front and center, but JP was being his usual humble self, just playing around to golf. Great guy, great company, great work they do. It's JP Roofing and Siding, $500 off, as I told the folks at Foxburg a couple different times. $500 off any roofing or siding installation. You can ask about 100% financing, and you can have the priceless peace of mind that this job is going to get done well. 412-829-7711.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.